Monday, June 2nd. The first reading from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior of the country and down to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They answered him, "We have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." He said, "How were you baptized?" They replied, "With the baptism of John." Paul then said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 men. He entered the synagogue and for 3 months debated boldly with persuasive arguments about the kingdom of God. Haydock Commentary. These men were apparently disciples of St. John the Baptist who believed in Christ from his testimony and had received no further instruction nor any baptism but John's. St. Paul first inquires of them if they received the Holy Ghost by confirmation. Their answer is probably not to be interpreted with rigor, since they must have heard something of the Holy Spirit, so often mentioned in the Old Testament, by whom the prophets are said to speak, etc. They meant they did not know there was in the church any means of communicating the Spirit to the faithful. Baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, so called to distinguish it from the baptism of John, and that of Christ was given in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, according to the command of Christ himself in Matthew 28:19. He imposed his hands on them, by which imposition of hands was given the Holy Ghost in the sacrament of confirmation. The Gospel from John chapter 16, verses 29 through 33. The disciples said to Jesus, "Now you are talking plainly, and not in any figure of speech. Now we realize that you know everything, and that you do not need to have anyone question you. Because of this, we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you believe now? Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived when each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave me alone. But I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage, I have conquered the world." From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. His disciples say unto him, "Now thou speakest plainly, and speakest no proverb. We now clearly understand that which we did not comprehend before. Now we know that thou knowest all things, from our seeing and hearing that thou understandest our secret thoughts, our doubts, and our desires to understand the meaning of thy words. For thou hast anticipated our questionings, and hast of thine own accord cleared up our doubts. And for this cause we believe the more firmly that thou art in truth the Son of God, and begotten by him, because thou knowest all things, and seest the secrets of hearts, which is the property of God." So says St. Cyril. Toletus says, "This alone is sufficient to make us believe that thou camest forth from God, because thou discoverest our secret thoughts and makest answer to them. And if other arguments, many as they are, were wanting, this alone would suffice to make us believe in thee." Christ responds, "Ye now have faith in me, but much feebler than you think, for you will flee away and leave me, each of you hasting away to the place which is nearest, and none of you waiting for any others. But I am not alone. I say not this for my own sake, but for your sake. I need not your protection, as I have the Almighty Father with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, that ye might trust confidently in me, with a mind calm and tranquil, unmoved, and unterrified by the waves of persecution. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I have begun to overcome it by my holy life and heavenly doctrines, but I will now fully and completely overcome it by my passion and death. Be confident then, that as I have overcome it, so will ye overcome it, if ye persevere in faith and love. If therefore ye abide in me, ye also by my example and by the grace of the Holy Spirit which I will give you, will overcome the world," that is, all the hatred, persecutions, etc. of the Jews. Understand by the world, the prince of the world, and all other adversaries of Christ. Be assured then, under every worldly trial, that I have overcome the world. Not for myself, but for your sakes I have overcome, that ye might overcome, that I might give you a rule and pattern, that I might obtain from God the grace of victory for you. Contend therefore resolutely, because I will contend in you and overcome in you by making you conquerors. For as St. Augustine says, he would not have overcome the world if the world were to conquer his members. Montanus and his fellow martyrs, the disciples of St. Cyprian, trusting in these words, were strengthened by them and exulted in their dark and gloomy prison. For they said, "Where the temptation is great, there is he, the greater one, who overcomes it in us, and there is no contest in which, by the protection of the Lord, there is not victory." St. Cyprian himself says, "If anyone keeping the commands of the Lord and boldly cleaving to Christ has stood against the adversary, he must needs be conqueror, for Christ is unconquerable." Also in his letter to Donatus he says, "He can seek for nothing from the world who is above the world." And again in another letter, "The Christian soldier, instructed by his precepts and warnings, trembles not at the battle, but is ready for the crown." Again St. Cyprian in another place, "The Lord wished we should rejoice in persecutions, because when they come, then the crowns of faith are given, the soldiers of God are proved, the heavens are open to martyrs." And again, "He is not alone whose companion in flight is Christ, who keeping the temple of God wherever he may be is not without God. And should a robber assault him when flying in solitude or on the mountains, or a wild beast attack, or hunger, or thirst, or cold afflict, or when hastening over the sea, storm and tempest overwhelm him, Christ everywhere beholdeth his soldier. And if he dies in persecution for the honor of his name, he gives him the reward he has promised he will give in the resurrection." Again, St. Cyprian in another place, "He who is a soldier of God, who stationed in the heavenly camp is already hoping for things above, should recognize what he is, in order that there may not be any trepidation or faltering in us at the storms and tempests of the world. For the Lord foretold that these things should come to pass, instructing and teaching us beforehand by his word of encouragement, and preparing and strengthening us to meet them." Again, St. Cyprian, "The soldiers of Christ cannot be conquered, though they can die, and they are unconquered because they are not afraid to die." And the confessors too, who were in prison and destined to martyrdom, wrote thus touchingly to St. Cyprian as the encourager of martyrs, "What more glorious or what more happy can be granted to any man by divine favor than fearlessly to confess the Lord God in the midst of his murderers, and that while the various and exquisite torments of the secular power are raging, even with a racked, tortured, and mangled body, to confess Christ the Son of God with his departing but still free spirit, having broken through all worldly hindrances to present himself before God freed from them all, then to win the heavenly kingdom without delay, then to become a fellow sufferer with Christ by suffering in his name." And so too St. John Chrysostom, when his banishment was in debate, addressed to his people 11 discourses, beginning thus, "Many are the floods and huge the waves, but I fear not drowning, for I stand on the rock. But what think they? Lest I should fear death, to whom to live is Christ and to die is gain? Lest I should be afraid of exile, though I know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? Or the proscription of my goods, though I know that I brought nothing into the world, neither can I take anything out? The terrors of the world, I despise them. Its pleasures, I deride them. I desire not riches, I dread not poverty, I fear not death."